evening, folks, and welcome to an emergency broadcast of the Celtic or the Trinity Tim's Celtic podcast. As usual, it's myself, Eric Knott, joined by Joe McHugh from Video Cells and James Powell from the blog. I asked the question last night on the podcast, how much worse could it get at Celtic? And when or what would be defined as rock bottom? I didn't think I'd get my answer less than an hour and a half later. But I did. And I first saw the news that Brendan Rodgers had resigned. That didn't come as a shock. The replacements did come as somewhat of a shock. Well, not Sean Maloney, but definitely Martin O'Neill stepping back in to the role of Celtic manager and, you know, being the guiding light for Sean Maloney, supposedly. That was an effort at appeasement as far as I was concerned. I actually read the statement, and at first I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a wind-up. I was just kind of under the impression that somebody had put it up just to wind people up. But then I went on to the official Celtic Club thought on our group chat in the Celtic Fans Collective. And then I went on to the group chat, and I went off the group chat and onto the Celtic website, and it was there. So I knew it was for real. So 15 minutes after reading that, I was deranged, off the scale, batshit crazy statement that I've ever seen emanate from Celtic Football Club was released by our majority, our major shareholder, Dermot Desmond. I was absolutely fucking astounded at what I read. My eyebrows were raised so much during that process that I'm surprised they didn't disappear into my, or recede into my hairline. I was just fucking blown away, lost for words. And the first thing that it screamed at me was lies, lies, damned lies, the whole lot. That was the first thing it screamed at me. The second thing it screamed at me was, this was Dermot Desmond's way of saying, it's all Roger's fault, we're circling the wagon, you're going to put up with us for as long as we see fit. So fuck you, fuck what you think, and go over and take it up the tailpipe. And that's basically as politely as I can put it. Because I'm done with polite now when it comes to this sport. I have to commend the boys on Four Tims and a Pod, you know, because they really eviscerated Dermot Desmond. I could not disagree with a word that those boys said over in that podcast. Basically, a daft old cunt. And that's it for me. He's a daft old cunt. And it's time he fucked off to the golf course and stayed there permanently. Over to you, Joe.
Follow that. I heard the Celtic press conference, and then my YouTube algorithms or whatever took me into Four Tims had a podcast. So that was a good balance to it. So everything you read last night, the Celtic statement, disregard it. It's not the truth. Everything you read from Dermot Desmond, disregard it. It's not the truth. And then that pantomime performance this afternoon from good old Uncle Martin O'Neill, joking away, everyone slapping their thighs at his anecdotes and ho 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 lies. We're led to believe that he got a phone call after Talksport yesterday, and it took him 10 minutes to decide, yeah, I'll get up the road and manage Celtic. So Martin O'Neill's not the manager, Sean Maloney's in charge, Martin O'Neill's there to deflect and face the press, and things are going to get a lot worse. That was a taster for it last night. And this is a club that likes to consider themselves one of the best run in Europe and admired by so many. I mean, I was reminded today of Dave King and his pack of cards. It wasn't too far away. It was too far away in the football front. Celtic lost one league and they didn't fold a pack of cards. But at the slightest bit of pressure, it's had a domino effect. There's various things happened. The transfer windows, Kaira Almaty, somebody speaking to the Sun, the statement from Celtic, the formation of the collective, the face-to-face meeting, the collective guys and others getting told that there's complete harmony at Celtic Football Club and they're all working in the one direction, and anything else you read about is just negative and nonsense. So last night we had a 35% shareholder obviously a bad day in the golf course. I'd love to know the timetable of events yesterday. I suspect that there's more to it than Brendan Rodgers designing. I think he was probably getting pushed and he maybe decided to go first. I don't think it was as simple and straightforward. Very, very telling that John Kennedy and the rest of the backroom staff, with the exception of Gavin Strachan and Stevie Woods, decided that it's just gone too far. They don't want to be associated with it. I mean, John Kennedy, 27 years, so much abuse of the guy. Everyone telling you he's a patsy and he was there for the board and he'd be hanging on at Celtic regardless of who's there. Good old John, he was, well, actually not the case. So he's possibly sitting on some cracking stories. We don't know about the... One of the Celtic favourite contracts is the non-disclosure contract. Clearly, one of them wasn't done for Brendan Rodgers. We'll wait to see. Brendan Rodgers will be getting in touch with the League Managers Association. They'll advise him what to do, but I think he's sitting in a tidy payoff. And the Celtic website, Celtic Football Club, being used for the anger of an angry old golfer to get his revenge. And apparently all these guys are absolutely fanatical about Celtic. They love the club, they think about nothing else. Well, we've got a 34-35% shareholder that barely turns up for matches. He was in Scotland for the Dunhill Cup. There's two matches that's on his doorstep, never bothered turning up. We've got a chairman that barely turns up, and we've got Nicholson and Mackay that turn up and look as if it's the last place on earth they want to be at. So it's a shambles. There's not much fresh to be said, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know what's going to happen next. No one knows. We didn't know what was happening last night. One of the questions I asked was, who goes first, Rodgers or Nicholson? So we get that one answered. But I can see an angry man to my right as I look at it on the screen. He looks like he's a simmering volcano. Let's see.
Let him erupt, Joe.
I'll just light a match and put it over to my side and throw that match at James Forrest from the Celtic blog. The stage is yours, James. Give them Waldy.
I like studying politics, as you all know. And I've watched some of the most incredible things that I ever thought I would see in my lifetime happen across the water in the States. And I used to always wonder how rational, reasonable, normal people could vote for Donald Trump. And I used to wonder what the breaking point would be for them. You know, when would it get to the point where they would literally snap out of it and go, this guy's fucking nuts. And I wondered if it would be the injecting bleach. I wondered if it would be the attempted coup. I wondered if it would have been grabbing them by the pussy. I wondered, you know, at every stage I wonder, what's it going to take? What's the breaking point for these people? And then I went on CQN this morning and I realised that for some people there is no such thing as a breaking point. And their delusions and their madness and they'll live in their bubble until reality literally crashes through the roof and floors every single one of them. That statement last night was Trumpian in its insanity and its capacity for damage. And what it says about the individual who posted it, it's exposed Celtic to enormous potential legal consequences because although some people on some podcast last night were erroneously talking about Dermot's deep pockets and how he can withstand anything that Rodgers throws at him, it won't be Dermot who's getting sued. He spoke in a non-executive director's capacity on our official club channel. Every single word of that statement suggests very strongly and in very clear language that he makes the decisions at the club. And so that's an official club communique. And it's called vicarious liability. For those who are unfamiliar with the term, it is the exact legal mechanism that was used against Celtic in the Boys Club case. It means that because he was acting on Celtic's behalf, that Celtic is liable for that statement last night. And for a non-executive director to be permitted to use the official club channel to launch a character assassination, which subjects us to potential legal consequences in the mid-millions, if we're being generous, is outrageous beyond belief. Our club is in the hands of one particular lunatic and a bunch of cowards. And that's what all of you are, and I hope you're all watching. You're cowards. You're moral cowards. Every one of you has allowed the slandering of the manager. Every one of you has permitted this guy in Ireland to dangle you like puppets on a string. You have no credibility. You are not leaders. At a time when this club needs leaders, you've shown yourself to be gutless frauds drawing a wage by false means. You have no business sitting in those seats 1 minute longer.
Well said, James. Well said. Absolutely. And the other thing that defies all logic for me is that the man who is going to be taking training at Lennox Town sat on TalkSport and told the people of TalkSport that Hearts were going to win the title. So basically, the group of players that's going to line up in front of this guy has been pretty much told they're shite. They're not going to win the title by this guy, and that he has put Hearts as the favourites to win the title. And that's basically a reflection of the decision that's been made to put this guy in charge. And look, I put an article up there earlier on, and I said there's a lot of nostalgia surrounding Martin O'Neill. We all liked Martin O'Neill back in the day when he was at the club from 2000 to 2005. He did great things at the club. He's a club legend. He now risks forfeiting his legendary status at the club because I do not see him as being the man who is capable of rescuing this shit show out of the fire. So his legacy at the club, which he should have had the brain to leave alone and to leave as is now under threat, because if he crashes and burns, he couldn't have picked a tougher start to his life at the club, because you've got Falkirk tomorrow night and you've got the protest planned for 7 o'clock outside the club. There's going to be a toxic, toxic atmosphere at the club, not created by Brendan Rodgers, a toxic atmosphere at the club created by the board and Dermot Desmond. And that's going to be raining. I would imagine that the abuse is going to be raining down from the stands tomorrow evening at the Falkirk game on these guys. I think Sack the Board will be saying it with great gusto. But the fact that he has taken control of the first team squad in the game against Kilmarnock and then the game at the weekend, and if he drops points tomorrow night and loses then on Sunday against the Ibrox side, he's off to an absolutely diabolical start. And this is just going to be, you know, it's going to be made out to be the farce that it actually is. Nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing fucking surprises me anymore with this board. Dermot Desmond burnt Celtic to the fucking ground last night with that statement. That's what he did. And he's going to fiddle while Rome burns. That's the reality. And it's shambolic. It's absolutely shambolic. We are a shambles. We are an utter shambles. We are a world-class shambles. That's what we are. And we must be the laughing stock of European football at the moment with the way we're behaving. We have finally outdone the Ibrox side. What they are doing pales into insignificance in comparison to what we're doing. Would you agree with that, Joe?
Yeah, and following up from what James has said, non-executive directors, Google them, find out what non-executive directors are meant to do. They're meant to provide checks and balances and things like that. So they should be questioning things. And Nicholson should have been getting grilled about how he allowed that statement to go out last night. We know why he allowed the statement to go out last night, because he wouldn't say boo to Uncle Dermo that's given them such a good lifestyle and a ridiculous salary. So Brian Wilson, Peter Lowell, Tom Allison, Sharon Brown, Brian Rose, your non-executive directors, you guys are jokes. It is absolutely pointless you being non-executive directors. If you don't raise a hand and say, hold on, wait a minute, what's going on here? And the fact that they're still on the Celtic payroll says that they're quite happy with that. So there is clearly absolutely nothing that Celtic could do that they would ever raise a hand and criticise and say, steady on. They're freeloaders. Some of them will be along at the match tomorrow. Probably they won't fancy it too much. They'll all be on board for Mitterland next week. Denmark's not the most exciting, but it's a couple of nights in a hotel and good hospitality and all the rest of it. So those guys, I don't think they had any respect. They've got absolutely zero respect now. And it's pretty appalling, some of the statements were coming up. Some idiot claimed that he had a bit of sympathy for Brendan Rodgers after the transfer window, but he's lost all sympathy because we lost two matches against Dundee and Hearts. So have a little think about the background to that. Dermot Desmond's comments didn't come out of the blue last night. Clearly, he's been backing them at other people recently. We've got a CEO that all he wants to do is sell football players and see if he can get away with not buying replacements, building up the bank reserves so he can pay even more money to HMRC. And I would love it if Brendan Rodgers got a payout of £11.5 million from Celtic, because that's what Celtic paid to HMRC during the 24-25 season, on the back of the success that Rodgers brought to the club, on the back of getting 5 sellout matches in the Champions League, on the back of getting 12 Champions League points. So, I mean, that was another comment. I mean, you could pull apart every part of that, but Dermot was it was repeating that old favourite of Peter Lill, that every penny that comes in is reinvested in the club. Oh, no, it isn't. They've managed to build up £77 million in the bank at the end of June, a surplus in the summer transfer window, and £11.75 million down the pan to their good friends at HMRC. So the non-executive directors don't have a leg to stand on. They've got no credibility. As I said, I don't think they had any credibility before, but last night's actions and their silence through the course of today confirms they're all chocolate teapots. So until these folk are all cleared out, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I don't know if there's any other minority shareholders that might step in. What we've got is it John Keane's son? Is it maybe Chris Keane? Is he? He's got more than 5%. He could call it an EGM, because it seems quite clear that the club's terrified of calling an AGM. But there's so much wrong, could go on all night. But for all those clowns that have come in from Celtic Thick News that have been on party mode through today, happy clapping with their glorious leader, we really don't want to know your comments. We won't be answering your comments. Stick to your delusions. And if your benchmark is Celtic avoiding going into liquidation, great, get on with it. Some of us have got standards just a little bit higher than that. That's all from me for now.
Yeah, I just see that guy, James McKeown, who's been all over the Celtic fans collective today as well, James, saying that Dermot Desmond was 100% right. He got kicked a fucking touch straight off anyway. He's banned. I don't know why he's haunting everywhere with this bollocks about, you know, backing the board and Dermot Desmond. Anybody who is backing our board and Dermot Desmond is fucking delusional now at the moment. That's as far as I'm concerned. They're living in another planet. They need to fucking grasp reality and realize that these guys are absolutely toxic to our club. And nothing is going to work unless they're gone. That's it, as far as I'm concerned. James?
I love the idea that Rodgers is responsible for the toxicity that's around Celtic right now. I'm fascinated that anyone, no matter how thick, delusional, or brainwashed, or whipped they might be, can actually say that and keep a straight face and hold that idea in their head for longer than a second before they go, what? Am I nuts? Because, let me put it this way. Brendan Rodgers is responsible for the results on the pitch. Brendan Rodgers spent the whole summer telling us that the team, as it stands, couldn't deliver his style of football, right? Couldn't do it. But Brendan signed all the players, including the ones that he doesn't play and has no intention of ever playing. So I'm finding that one hard to grasp. I'm finding it hard to grasp that a guy who was trying to keep the fans informed as to why we didn't have those players as a bad guy for having done so when nobody else at the club was talking to us. I'm having trouble with the idea that all the toxicity that's flowing through the support right now stems from Brendan Rodgers' comments. Well, again, I'm speaking to the heart of thinking right now. He didn't write the fucking Friday night statement that buffed the collective. That was someone else at Celtic Park. He didn't brief against himself to the Sun newspaper. That was someone else at Celtic Park. So if Desmond is so fucking right, and we better pray that Desmond is right, because if Rodgers challenges us in court, we're going to have to prove every single one of those assertions. Every single one of them. And some of them have more holes in them than Swiss cheese. And that's just a handful of the ones that are easily contestable. Easily contestable. Rodgers didn't sabotage himself. Rodgers didn't buy the players who he won't play. Rodgers did not write the Friday night statement that toxified the entire discussion around the club. All of that was other people. And we've blamed Rodgers for all of that. And we don't have a leg to stand on if he challenges that in court, which he should. And I hope he does. I cannot believe that there is any person in our support still willing to endorse this absolute catastrophe of a board of directors. If these people had any sense of self-preservation at all, they would have taken some steps towards the fans instead of getting further and further and further away from us. Dermot Desmond talked last night about values and identity. The values and identity of Celtic. And while he was talking about it, John Kennedy was packing his bags at Lennox Town and demonstrating every one of those values. And who was John Kennedy following out the door? The charlatan, the liar, the troublemaker, the shit stirrer, the guy who toxified the club. 27 years service to Celtic, and John Kennedy walked out the door with him. And if you cannot process that enough to realise who's at fault here, I can't help you, and no one on this panel can help you, and no one in the Celtic support can help you. Only a medical doctor with an advanced degree stands any chance at all. But you have to realise that you're sick first. And I advise some of you start learning that fact. Honestly, I'm tired of it. I'm done trying to have a proper debate with people who don't want a proper debate. People want to live in a bubble. That's up to them. I don't care that you believe in fairies at the bottom of your garden, but don't expect me to hold it down and not speak so loud every time I walk past them. Because I won't live in your fantasy and I won't share your delusion. It's time you woke up from it.
Absolutely. The big question now is, I said yesterday, what was rock bottom? I mean, we've just elevated ourselves above rock bottom another few notches to let ourselves go down to rock bottom again. You know, they say that the only way after rock bottom is up. But as long as Dermot Desmond has his foot on the throat of this club, we're not going anywhere. We're just going downwards. And we're going to continue on a downward spiral, and it's not going to stop until these guys have left the building.
No.
And for me, it's just the protests have to ramp up. The intensity of the protests have to ramp up. The fans have to make their voices heard at every single game, and they just have to make lives hell for these guys. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying that they make their lives hell outside of Celtic Park. They stay away from them. They leave their families alone. If Dermot Desmond is insinuating that their families were targeted, which I don't believe. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying I don't condone it. I don't condone it, so it should not happen. But when these guys set foot on the grounds of Celtic Park, they are fair game when it comes to voicing, in a peaceful way, our opinions on them. And they have nobody to blame but themselves for the opinions that are going to be voiced and the opinions that are going to be directed at them in the stadium and outside the stadium after games and outside the stadium tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So they need to prepare for what's coming down the tracks now, because if Dermot Desmond was under the impression that his deranged statement from last night was going to galvanize the support in any way or turn the support against Brendan Rodgers, it shows how little there is going on up there other than the golf course. If he couldn't actually see that was going to drive a massive, massive, massive wedge there's already been a huge wedge between the board and the fan base. It's gone to shit now. So they need to be prepared. I mean, if we thought that the statement last September was deranged enough that and I'm batshit crazy, that's trumped it 10 times over. So I think we don't need to stay too long on this. We said we'd give it a half hour because we needed to get our few points across, guys. Give me a predictions for tomorrow night and Sunday. I know that we have a new gaffer in town who is going to drive the nostalgia levels up through the fucking roof and make it all a happy, happy, joy, joy occasion. And he'll mumble and mutter his way through press conferences and tell us how, you know, everything's rosy in the garden and how magnificent, his favorite word, everything is.
Toss a coin. Any combination of results as possible as likely from the next two matches. The matches are almost a sideshow. I hope to God they can get past the game on Sunday and book that final place. But even that, it's just that the club's digging and digging. And they said the Dave King stuff sort of came through. But it's nothing to do with Dave King, and it's nothing to do with the club at Ibrox. It is all entirely self-inflicted. The decent thing is there is no happy clapping pods around. There's a few snipers, and they're all out there with their wee comments, this and that, and the next thing. But none of them dare show their face or try and put an argument together for it. They've got their favoured website, but that's about it. So no idea how it's going to go in the next two games. All I know is Celtic are on a massive downward trajectory, and it's going to take someone to bang some heads together, kick some bodies out. I think there was a comment earlier that says the AGM is on November the 21st. That must have been announced very recently, so check that one out. That's a date for the diary. So that's something that we can bring some focus to. I would hope the collective have a meeting two nights before it, and then they come up with a lot of ideas before it. And hopefully, James doesn't want to go to the AGM. Hopefully the collective arrange an alternative event for that day, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll pass over to James. We've only got 30 minutes tonight. I'm sure James could go for 30 minutes himself, but I'll leave with a minute or two for a few more grenades.
Well, you said it yourself, mate. It's a sideshow right now. The football is a sideshow. I have never, ever gone into any game hoping that Celtic would not get a result. Even if there was some bizarre confluence of events that meant that us getting a result was somehow a negative for us. Like if a Champions League group game or a Europa League, you know, group game on the ladder meant that the higher on the ladder were, the tougher the tie we would get. I would still want us to get a result in every game, and I wouldn't care what the effects of it were in terms of crap like that. And I'm not going to say that I don't want us to get a result tomorrow and that I don't want us to get a result on Sunday. But these people don't deserve validation in any way, shape or form. They don't deserve to take a victory lap. They have not earned it. They are not entitled to it. And anything that makes them look even 1% better in the eyes of even 1% of the support is not an outcome that will give me very much satisfaction. I don't want us to lose either game. I want us to win both of them. But the idea that these people will somehow feel vindicated in how they've handled this in the last 24 hours is a thought that makes me physically sick. And that is what they have done to a large number of our supporters. They have actually made us feel physically sick at the prospect that we might get positive outcomes from these games, because we know that they'll take that as some kind of badge of honour and that they'll draw some satisfaction and instill more self-belief in them that they're the masters of the universe. You're not the masters of the universe, not one of you. Not a single one of you. Visionless, gutless, and I hope soon to be jobless, the whole lot of you. I'm sick and tired of every one of them.
Well done. I have to give a shout out to Joe Devlin there. I hope Martin O'Neill doesn't go full Zebedee when Celtic scores. He will do himself a mischief. For you, for those of you out there of a younger generation who don't know who Zebedee is, check out the Magic Roundabout. you'll get an idea of who Zebedee is.
24 hours, man.
You know, you've got to, even in the midst of a crisis, you've got to, man, you've got to admire the wit of some of our Celtic supporters, you know. But yeah, look, guys, it is, I hate the old saying, you know, that we hear, I hear it all the time in my professional career. It is what it is. Unfortunately, it fucking is what it is. And until it changes, or it won't change until such time as these guys have vacated the building. Just one quick point before we go, Joe. What do you think about these rumours about the Leicester City chairwoman, chairlady? Is there any truth in that?
I can't stand these rumours. There's all a rumour that Peter Lille's going to step down. So don't argue, don't complain, don't say bad things about him. He's going to step down. And don't say anything about Michael Nicholson. We've got somebody else coming in. She's Irish. I think there's some connection to Dermot Desmond. No thanks. It needs more than one or two bodies to go. It needs a whole place flushed right out and fresh thinking, fresh ideas, not just shifting the draft pieces. So no thanks.
You know something? It's been an extraordinary 24 hours.
It has.
But even accounting for the shock resignation and the shocking deranged statement from what I can only presume as either an Irish drinking establishment or a mental institution. I still think the most incredible thing about it has been the absolute absence of two of the central characters in this farce, the chief executive and the chairman of the club. And since we have somehow got through the last 24 hours without them, it is increasingly clear that we don't need either of them to run the club, that we don't need either of them to function as an institution. So that cardboard cutout of Dermot Desmond that I told you guys I can get for 60 quid, of Peter Lowell that I can get for 60 quid, that looks more and more like value for money. The kind of thing that this club loves so much. So we should just do a baby law right now and get the cardboard cutout. And Michael Nicholson, I don't know, buy a fucking goldfish for the boardroom. Something that can provide some entertainment that people can look at while we're standing around the meeting, having the tea and biscuits, because it will do more good than he does. He clearly is not required. He clearly is not needed. He clearly fulfills no role and plays no and has no function.
Plunge, have you got a problem with me? What's wrong with Irish people?
Very much at this point. Because clearly we don't require his services. And it'd be an 800 grand a year saving. We could just buy the cardboard cut out of him as well. 60 quid, there we go. Job done. Listen, £1.6 million, we can put that towards Brendan Rodgers' out-of-court settlement.
If we've got the date for the AGM, we should also have the salaries for the year 24-25. So we'll be able to scurry off and find out if Nicholson got through the £1 million barrier, if he fell just below. But that's us. We're on 33 minutes. That's three bonus minutes on top of the bonus 30 minutes. So we'll leave it to Eric to sign off, and we'll be back again at some point in the future.
I will sign off on one point. Last night, what Dermot Desmond did, that is him and his board's legacy now. That is what they will be remembered for. They will go down as, without doubt, the worst regime that has ever been in charge of Glasgow Celtic Football Club. And they gave themselves that legacy last night. They have put themselves into the realms of infamy with that statement last night. And that is, Dermot Desmond might be giving a call. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'll give him a piece of my mind if he does. That is their legacy now. And they will, Kelly's and the Whites, don't even compare. Don't even compare. So that's it for now, lads. We'll talk to you again after the result on Sunday. And thanks to everybody for tuning in to what was not really a well-announced show. We got 200 people on the live stream, which was pretty good for an off-the-cuff show. And as usual, if you like what we're doing, guys, like, subscribe. We're very close to the 2,000, so if you can push us over the line, that'd be fantastic. It all helps. And we will talk to you all again on Monday night.